sometimes we hear the piano in love. But you know, sometimes we miss the voices. I got a feeling God wants to hear our voices this morning. You know, maybe that's why he sent the pandemic. You say, Tom, I don't believe he sent it. Well, he's in control of everything, so he allowed it. How about that? Maybe he just wants us to remember to let him hear our voices, giving him praise, giving him glory, giving him thanks for Calvary. If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. Any outspoken prayer requests you want to make? Or just, yes. Your brother, honey. All right. Family, yes. Family, yes. Yeah. You know, I hear a lot of people, just a second, Shirley. I hear a lot of people talking about family. You know, I'm convinced the only reason I made it back from Vietnam was because I had a dad and mom who would not let go of God for their son. By all measure, I should have died. But God showed grace. Because I had a praying family. So when you ask for prayer for your family, God hears it. God cares. And God will act. Any others? Yes, Shirley. All right, honey. Yes. Father, it's so good to be here this morning. Oh, Lord, it's been so good to be here. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for doing something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. What a God you are. You remind me every time I drive by that pasture of cattle. I realize how great you are. You created every one of them. And they give me joy just as I drive by them. They give me joy. A blessing. Your creation. But, oh, Lord, eye hath not seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for those that love him. What a blessing. Lord, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Thank you. I don't deserve it, but thank you. Lord, if there's one here today that don't know you, oh God, let this be the day. Lord, let this be the day. Could be their last day, last chance, last opportunity. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you sing great conviction? And then for your children. Oh, Lord, let us live near the cross. Let us realize you're not on the cross, but let us never forget what happened at the cross. And then you raise the third day for our justification in the sight of God. You sit at the right hand of majesty on high, making intercession for us. You're able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through you, seeing that you ever live it to make intercession for us. Lord, help us to intercede for our family to the great intercessor before God. Bless our pastor today. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you just preach to him in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 378, I believe, isn't it?
Did I say 378?
378 will be the next song. Page 378. First and last verse. Let's stand and sing, please, before Amy comes. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. First and last, but I just noticed the second verse. We'll have to sing that one because that tells you the whole story. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save as he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word, then he will pass, will pass over you.
A church out near my house has a sign, and earlier this week they changed it a little bit, and that what they had posted this week was, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. As soon as I read it, I could not get this song out of my head. I've been singing it, humming it, whistling it all week long, and it's not a great, I don't think it's a great song for me. I would much rather hear a man sing it. And in fact, I think the last time I sang it was so long ago, I sang it maybe with Les and Tom. But I can't let go of it. I didn't practice it at all week, except for just to be singing it in my head. I didn't get my CD out or anything. And this morning I woke up and it was on my mind. I was just singing it over and over again. So obviously I'm going to listen to the Lord and sing it. It's been a blessing to me for as long as I have known this song. It's one of my all-time favorites, and I hope it's a blessing for you.
What I thought was living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I've never felt so much alive. Cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength but His. There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss. And with His suffering I identify. And by His resurrection power, cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength but His. There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. So that His cross is not in vain. For I found to live is Christ, and to die is truly gain. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ that lives within me. for it's not my strength but His. There's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live.
That's so hard for the world to understand. Dying daily, submitting yourself to Him. But I will die daily to be with Him, be close to Him, to be in fellowship with Him. The world can't understand that. But what a blessing, what a blessing, what a gift to be able to lay down what's happening in the world right now, to die daily to yourself and to give it over to Him who controls everything. I'm so happy this song is on my mind, and I hope you all have been blessed by it as much as I have been all week long.
Amen. Yeah. No doubt about it, right? Jake and Rochelle are visiting with us today. I started to say all the way from New Jersey, but he got out of New Jersey. That's what Jake told me. I told him I rode up through there one time with Jim and some of the other guys, and he said, good thing you got out. We're so glad to have y'all with us today. And I do know that the time change made a difference to some folks. My eyesight is still here, and I can see that it did, but that's okay. We'll be back on track next week, because all next week, they better be on time, right? Okay, if you have your Bibles handy, Jake, Dwayne, would you get a Bible right there in the foyer, please? I think I wanted Jake to have one because he asked me for one, didn't you, Jake? My memory's still pretty good, Jake, but I got tied up in something else, and I didn't get you one. But the scripture will be in front of you. If you don't have your Bible, it will be here on the board. If you have your Bibles handy and you want to turn there, turn to 1 Chronicles 29. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now, I'm wearing my glasses a little differently because I don't go back to the eye hospital until next week. So I'm having to take them on and off. Don't let that distract you. I'll try my best not to let it distract me, because God's got a message for us today. And that song that Amy just sang, and she didn't have a clue what the message was today, but I believe that God led her in that direction. Because of what He did at Calvary, we should be willing, more than willing, to serve Him in this great work that we're in. And this is a great work, folks. Leading people to Christ is a great work. It's greater than anything you'll do in your life is to lead someone to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because you see, this is a temporary home. Our long home, our eternal home, is after we leave this place. I want you to know Him. If you will, let's read together. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen. Isn't it good that God still does the choosing? Is yet young and tender, and the work is great. See, when I pause, for some of you who don't know, when I pause, that doesn't mean I don't know the word. When I pause, you say the word, okay? Say yes. Okay, y'all are alive today, right? That one hour going forward didn't mess y'all up, right? You didn't lose a lot of sleep. Don't give me that, because you went to bed an hour early last night. Right? We're all alive and well. So he says, and the work is. Down at Paris Island, South Carolina, when we did it like that, they said, we're going to stay here until you get it right. Right? So we're going to get it right, folks. And I want it to hear like the word says. And the work of God is great. Thank you. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood. Onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of different colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. These were the things he was preparing for the temple to be built, even though he wasn't allowed to do it. He was preparing. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good. Did you catch that? This is stuff out of his own pocket. Of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses wherewithal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artifactors. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? The word consecrate, don't miss that. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered. Offered.
Willingly.
Yes. Yes. That's the other great word in this thing. Willingly. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to us, but the more you read it, the more you see he's trying to let us know how great the Word of God is. All the things they did to prepare to build this building was great. Great amounts. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jael and Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart. You don't have to say they, I know they. But with perfect heart, they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this spiritual meal that he's given us today. He can change your life today. He can upgrade your life today. If you already know him as your Savior and you can honestly say deep down in your heart, if I died today, I would go to heaven, then he can upgrade our living, always upgrade. We never get to a place to where we don't need him to upgrade our life. He can do that today. And if you're lost, he can save you. Just takes a simple repentance of the sin of unbelief in your heart, if you've never done that, and ask him to save you, and he will. He'll give you a new heart, a new life. Lord, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your house. We thank you, Lord, for everything you have already done this morning in this house. Thank you for that song. Lord, I thank you that you remind us of Calvary. What a beautiful scene that was. What a terrible scene it was, but what a beautiful scene it was. Because of that, all the sins of the world can be taken away. That ugly sin. It took an ugly death for an ugly sin. But God, we're so thankful that what you did for us spiritually was beautiful, and we thank you for it. Now, God, guide us, everyone who is in this building today, to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The way we should come to God, and I know every time you step inside a church building, you know that you're stepping into the presence of God. Not that God's not present everywhere, he is. But when you step inside these walls, it should be with an attitude of heart that we're stepping into the presence of God together as brothers and sisters. You can be in the presence of God as an individual wherever you are, because he is everywhere at all times. But when we come in here, it's something special about it, because all of us are in the same mind and the same heart, and we're stepping into the presence of God together. And we all have a prayer in our hearts that if there's anybody in here who is not my brother or my sister in Christ, that this will be the day that they come to know him. So it is a special place, and it's very special to all of us here today. But the way we come to God for service, and that's what this is all about, willing service. Last week, we decided to do some things for a spring campaign to get busy for the things of God and invite some folks in to church. Now, inviting folks to church will not necessarily take them to heaven. But what they get inside the church can absolutely change their life. And that's why we invite. We don't invite like this building is some kind of a holy structure. This building is a church building. You are the church. What's inside your heart makes up the church. So we come to God for service, and the way we should do this is with a bowed head, an open hand, and an open heart. Now, if we can come in that way, God can speak to us and he can give us what we need. It is such a great privilege to be able to do anything for God. As Amy was singing that song, I'm sure that if you know the Lord, you had a feeling of gratitude for what he did at Calvary for you. And gratitude will cause you to want to do for others. Give you a little illustration here as we go along. If someone did something real special for you, one of the first things that goes through your mind is, I've got to do something for them. They did something special for me. They did something precious for me, and I've got to return that. For instance, if you invite me to your home to eat a supper meal or something, I'm going to feel like I have to do something for you. And I'm going to say have to. That's because that's the only word I know to use. And that's not the reason I would do it. But there is a sense of gratitude for what you did. And I want to return some of that same feeling that I got when you invited me, that I was that special to you that you wanted to do that. Now, if you do that to me today, I probably won't invite you to my house. Just wanted you to smile, okay? No, the truth is, I went to Food City yesterday, so go ahead and invite me. Okay, David wasn't allowed, according to this scripture, David wasn't allowed to build a temple, even though that's what he wanted to do. God did not allow that, but Solomon was allowed to do that. But what David was responsible to do was get it all ready to build. It was his responsibility, and he did that. He not only got stuff from all kinds of other people, he did from his own pocket supply things for the building of the temple. So it was a big job to prepare. And in the church work, it's a huge job to prepare. We have some things going right now that take preparation. A lot of preparation. Since COVID came along, we have had to do a lot more preparation because we all of us people got out of our norm for coming to church and working in the church and worshiping and everything. It made things different. It did from every aspect. So now that we're trying to get back to where we can say we're somewhat normal, it is causing us to do some things in the church that will create some interest for different folks. Now, that doesn't just happen like that. You don't just speak it and it happens. It takes preparation. I had a young lady tell me yesterday on the phone that she was inviting people to church because of what she had found here. She wanted other people to have that. And that was so refreshing to me. She went on to name people that she was out to get. You know what I mean? That she was on the hunt. She was going to get her fishing pole and she was going to go fishing. And I told her that everything we could do as a church to help her in this, we would do it because she's looking at preparing. She's not talking about just making a phone call and everything's going to happen and those people she's interested in is going to be here. Sometimes you got to do more than just a phone call. Sometimes you got to spend some of that $5 a gallon gas. Little sacrifice, it's okay, isn't it? Yeah, if we want to do something else, we're going to do it. So what bigger service could we give to someone than to make sure they're in the house of God where they can hear the word of God and it can change their life? There's nothing bigger, I can tell you. So it was so refreshing to me to hear somebody say, I don't guess I've been that refreshed since Becky Augustus told me she'd been fishing. And I knew because back in that time, we were talking about going fishing for the Lord, fishing for people. And she told me she'd been fishing. And she had. Her neighbors have been here now for how many years? Anybody know? Well, Richard's right outside there. He's our greeter today, so he could tell me. But they were their neighbors, and she went fishing. And she didn't give up. Becky Augustus is not one to give up easily. And here they are here in the church, happy. Folks, we got to see that that's important for us to do. And we got to do it. It's a huge work, and we're responsible for it. We're responsible to prepare, help prepare other people's hearts for heaven. Our interest in God's work should be no less than what David did. He wasn't allowed to build, but he was told to prepare. He was allowed to do that work. That was no menial work to prepare. Nothing you do for the Lord is less than what anybody else does. So don't start putting your list out there like, these are the big jobs and these are the little jobs. Everything we do for the cause of Christ is huge, and David knew that and he was doing it. Because we're not doing what we want to, let's not do what we do for our own self-interest, folks. If we'll do that and do it for the cause of Christ, it'll all be okay. The truths and the principles of religion, do we know some of what those are? I believe we do. We talk, you know, we can talk a lot of religion. And we can even learn Bible verses and quote them, right? We can. we can really speak well those things that are of God. But too often, the things we practice are not the things we say. So what I'm saying to you is this work of God is so important and so great that we can't afford just to talk. Have you ever had anybody tell you that words are cheap? And that's true. That's true. If we don't put the words that we speak into action, if we tell someone we love them and we don't go that second mile with them when they need us, do we really love them? And the answer is no, we don't love them like we said. So we speak, but then we need to put it into practice. Okay, now we know that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So now we know that what's going on here in this Old Testament scripture of 1 Chronicles is actually going to come to pass later on down the road. The truth of it is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass here in 2022 at Liberty Fellowship Church. Hey, like that? Did God know what he was doing when he had the Holy Spirit to pen these words and had authors to write them down? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did, because he knew it would be important for us. He knew that in this spring year of 2022 that we were going to be interested in getting more interest into our church congregation by stepping it up and doing some things, actually doing rather than just talking. And so he gave us this scripture. So let's take a look at the work that he's talking about here. And the work is no different. Even though we're in this year, long way from here, and we're in a different building, we're doing different things for different people, the work is the same. The work is great. That's what he said in verse 1. Here is the work. The work is great for the palace, and that was the temple, by the way. For the palace is not for man. So this building is not for you. Don't want to hurt your feelings now, okay? And you may fall in love with this church building. It was like the Jones family came walking by one day, who lived up the street here. They came walking by, and Chris looked at the front of the building and saw the sign, and he said, "That's where I want to go to church." Well, his dad looked at the sign and found out that the pastor of this church was a person he went to high school with. Now, Chris didn't know that, but Ron knew that, and Deanie knew that, and so because of God touching Chris's heart that day, and he looked at this building, and now we know Chris's heart, because Chris knows that there's not a miracle inside the walls of these buildings except what God does. I love this building. First time I ever walked into it, I knew this was the place for our church 33 years ago. So I knew that. But I can tell you that what is lasting is not about this building. If you don't think so, look at Ukraine. They're absolutely destroying the country of Ukraine. The buildings, hospitals, churches, doesn't make any difference. They're just leveling them to the ground. So a building can be leveled. What's inside your heart? How powerful is this? What's inside your heart because of a decision you made for Jesus Christ, God's only Son? No bulldozer can level that. Nothing can destroy that. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. That's good stuff. And so this is the work. The work is the temple, but we are the temple. Your body is a temple, okay? This building is just a building, and it's noted by our sign that it is a place where Liberty Fellowship, which is you, this is where we meet. David wanted God to have a beautiful building. He wanted this building, but he wanted it for his name. When we come into this building, it should be that we worship in here because this is a special place. It's where we read his word. It's where we sing the songs that touch our heart. It's where we have brothers and sisters that we have had for a long time, some not so long, but everyone is the same in our hearts, right? This is a place of love, folks. It is. It is. And there's a lot of people out there in this whole world that are looking for the love of God. But they're also looking for the love of God that can come through an individual. Do I know about the wrath of God? Of course I know about the wrath of God. I know that the love of God is as powerful than the wrath of God because of how it can change a life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the truth of it. You see, God can be in a building. Of course he can. But according to the Old Testament scriptures, he can also be in a bush. So he can be in a lot of different ways. He can speak through a donkey. God can do a lot of things, folks. Let's don't underestimate what God can do in our lives and in the lives of other people. So the temple, you can make it as nice as you want to, and I want this building, the buildings that we have here on this block, I want us to keep them as nice as we possibly can. They ought to be attractive when people comes into the community. It's God's place, and we should keep it up. There shouldn't be anything that needs painting. Did I say that right? There shouldn't be anything that needs to be fixed that we haven't put effort in it to get it fixed. But we should have it as nice as possible. But don't forget that our body is a temple, okay? Our lives are the work. The work is not in the programs that we start here. We start programs so that we can have different things to do. We have a men's program. We got to get that back to normal. We have a women's program. We got to get that back to normal. We have Sunday school classes. We got to get those back to normal. We've got a lot of things going. We need to get back to normal. We have a Bible school to look forward to. And you might say, well, gosh, COVID has taken away all of our children. No, he hasn't taken them away. They just haven't been here like they should have been here. We're going to try to get them back in here, and we're going to have our Bible school this year just like we always have. If I just have to have it for Levi, I'm going to take Levi to Bays Mountain and have Bible school. Or Rocky Fork. Or Rock Creek Park. Or I just saw it in the paper this morning, Bristol Caverns. I'm naming places we have Bible school. We don't have Bible school here inside the building. We go somewhere where the kids can say, wow. I want our kids to see something that God's created and say, wow. I want them to taste it and touch it and feel it. Then I want God to touch their little hearts with his word, and then they know exactly why it all is. Amen? Yes. So church buildings, they don't reach people. It's what that young lady told me this week. She said, and she used the word reaching out. And I didn't know that young people even knew that phrase, reaching out. But you know, young people know more than we think. There was a commercial some years ago called Reach Out and, who said that? Reach Out and Touch who? Yeah, y'all know. It doesn't matter who that someone is, does it? It doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're here to reach people. We're here to reach hearts. And so that's what we're going to do. Now, there is an example here in this scripture of the work that he said is great. And the example is verses 2 through 4. And I'm not going to read all of those because it has all the things in it that were brought to create the church. So I'm not going to go through all those, but I am going to take you to this part of it right here. You see, we can't ask others to consecrate their life if we haven't consecrated ours. I'm not going to ask you, if I was a commissioned salesman, I'm not going to ask you to purchase something that I don't believe in myself. If I don't believe in what I'm offering you, I'm not going to offer it to you. That's a good place for an amen. You know, because we're on time today. We set our clocks forward, right? That's right. Or at least two of them. I've got to go back home and set the other 10. We become the example. Say, I'm we. Yeah, no, I know that sounds crazy, but I want you to say, I am we. Yeah, because that makes all of us the same. You're an individual. You're responsible to be an example. I'm your brother in Christ. I'm jumping in on this, okay? So we are we. We're us. We do it together. That's what makes it togetherness, is the us in this thing. So we are the example. He said this. He said, I have prepared with all my might for the house of God. Now, can I honestly say that? Can I honestly say that I have prepared with all of my might for the house of God? If I can't say that, how can I try to get someone else to join in and be with me if I can't say that? I can't. It wouldn't be honest to do that. So this message is going to get to where we have to answer the question inside our own hearts today. Am I willing to put forth some effort, more effort than maybe I've ever put in my life, to see that we defeat this thing that hit us 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, this thing that hit us and took things away? You say, God, was God in that? Yeah, God's in everything, folks. He knows how to get us to the place to where we need to be. He does. Now, in the old days, the old farmers used to use two befores. If a horse wasn't doing what he's supposed to do, he might have tasted a two before. If a cow wasn't doing right, he's milking her and she'd kick his bucket or swish her tail back there and hit him in the face, might get a two before. We've come a long way from that, right? We have. Little illustration. I was up feeding my horses one time. I used to ride all over Buffalo Mountain. And I was up feeding my horses, and it was cold morning, and I was giving them sweet feed. Should never give a horse sweet feed in a cold morning. They'll bite your kicky, okay? Well, he came down on my arm. I was pouring it in. And he came down on my arm and bit my arm. I scared that horse to death. He ran out to the other side of the barn and around the barn. And I knew he didn't have anywhere to go except around the barn and back down. I picked up me a rock about the size of a baseball. I used to throw a little. And as he come down the side of that barn heading down the other way, I threw that rock at him and I must have missed his head about 3 inches. If that had hit him, I would have had to call somebody to dig a big hole. Just getting his attention, okay, I didn't mean to kill him. I rode him forever, you know, but he shouldn't have bit me like that. Y'all know what I mean? Okay, so COVID bit us, folks. COVID bit us. Took a hunk out of us, and now we've got to get back to where we're going to be. Not that we're going to try to fight some kind of virus or anything, but we've got to get back to where we need to be. Now, we must sacrifice everything for the service of God. We agree with that. I mean, I would say after all, he did. He gave his only begotten son. And when Jesus came to Calvary, he gave, when you give your life, you've given your all. There isn't anything else to give when you give your life. See, he gave his life so that we could live. Now, look at verse 5, if you will, if you've got your Bibles. If not, it's okay. The gold for the things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all the manner of work to be made by the hands of artifactors. And who then, and here's where it starts, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now this is a call for all of us, a call to serve. Who's willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Now, hands can't always stay clean. Hands sometimes get dirty. If we're going to do any kind of outside work, and I know that there are probably some folks in here who don't do a lot of outside work. I understand that. But there ought to be a time in your life when you went outside and just got your hands dirty. I don't care if you're doing any work or not, rub them in the dirt. Are you with me? Because when we use our hands to do things, they're going to get a little soiled. Is that a good way to put it? Yeah, because we're using our hands for his service. How many of y'all believe in using your hands for service? Both of them. There you go. Let go of that. You're holding somebody's hand, I can tell. If you're holding somebody's hand, let go and hold your hands up. It's okay to do this. We do this at ball games, right? We do it at concerts. We do it at other places. We need to use our hands for the Lord. And I just want you to see that you still had two, okay? Or if you only have one, you can use that one too. Whatever. God's good, right? Now, but in this verse, there is an urgency about it. Because the urgency about it is this day. So he's saying, don't wait till tomorrow. Because the people who wait for tomorrow, they'll be waiting tomorrow for the next tomorrow. No, he says this day. Now, who of us are going to respond? I wanted to show you who was responding here. The people who are going to respond are the people, according to verse 6, are the people who are perfectly willed. And verse 6 and 9 say about the same thing. But I want you to see that the people who are going to respond are not the people who are just running this through their head, that it's a good idea. They're running it through their heart, that their heart is willing to yield. You can't yield your hands until your heart is yielded. Don't try to do things for your wife or your husband that you haven't already yielded inside your heart that you're going to do that. Because it won't last. Okay? It won't. And so, in verse 9, he calls it a perfect heart. Perfect heart just simply means that it's been yielded to the Lord. A person who is living by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. Y'all know that song? That's what pleases God. Whatever you do by faith pleases God. Faith that you trust him that he'll get the glory for it. This is the person who has no problem at all giving of everything. Now, I wouldn't be a good pastor or a good preacher if I didn't include that thing that you wish I never included when I say giving. You don't have a problem giving your energy to do something for the Lord, right? Energy, it just happens, and we have what we have, and until our tank is empty, we're going to use it, right? We're willing to give our voices, so our beautiful voices to sing. We're willing to give our voices to teach a Sunday school class. We're willing to help in Bible school. We're willing to do whatever. Some of you are willing to go on a senior trip. But when we say willing to give, it hurts. It pains. And the reason it hurts and pains is because you haven't yielded that part of you to the Lord. I have to preach it. It's the truth. He said if we'll give to him, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we can't contain. I would be a terrible preacher if I didn't get you to a place to where you could partake of the things that come from heaven out of open windows to you. So we got to give it all. You see, that's what David and the others were doing. They were giving their gold and their silver and their stones, everything that was going to happen. We can't do. By the way, we have something we're going to take care of here in just a minute. But we have something that needs to happen here on this building. It's been almost 20 years since we had a roof put on this building. Well, we have a leak. Did I show it to you last week? Well, we had a roofer come out. Now, let me have your attention back. Quit looking at the ceiling. We had a roofer come out. He checked everything inside and out. And, yes, we're going to have a roof. Okay? Well, it's not a $300 roof. It's not a $5,000 roof. It's not a $10,000 roof. We'll tell you later. But you see, what I'm saying is if we're going to keep God's building up, and we need to, it takes some of that stuff that we need to let go of. That's what David knew. He knew it took money to build the temple. He wasn't a fool. It took money to do that. And all the other things that we give because we have a perfect heart. We have a heart that is giving to the Lord. Now, you say, well, I'm willing to do that. My heart is ready. I want my hands ready. And whatever I can do to help Liberty Fellowship Church here in this neighborhood, I want to help. Amen? Could I see a hand? Amen. Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure that you were with me. Now, you say, well, what's in it for me? You didn't say that, did you? But there is something in it that's for you. There is something in it that's for you. Let me read it for you, because it also comes out of verse 9. Then the people rejoiced. Did you get that? Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. What did they get from it? They got joy. You can't go to the mall and buy that, by the way. You can't go to Walmart, Target. You can't go anywhere and buy a joy that can only come from the heart that God gives you. You can't. That's what they got. And it says, then the people rejoiced. That means you took the joy and read it. You redid it. Isn't it good to have leftovers sometimes? And joy can be refreshed inside you, and you can have that joy all the time. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy, because everything offered was with the perfect heart willingly. That's why. By the way, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Right? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're wondering how you're going to be able to do this, you'll do it through joy. If there's no joy in your life, you're not going to be a witness. You're not. I can't wait to tell people that I love them. I got an opportunity to be with my family this past week, and I love doing things with my family. I love my family. I love you. And if I didn't have any joy in letting you know that, I couldn't tell you with any success anyway. It would just be words. It wouldn't be something that would be practiced and put in. I can honestly say, I love you and I'll be there for you. Okay? Now, let's bow our heads. And as we bow our heads, we're going to ask ourselves, am I willing to serve God? Not just at Liberty Fellowship. This is a great place to serve God. You can serve God anywhere, but this is a great place to serve God. I want you to ask yourself that question. Am I willing? Do I have a willing heart to serve God in whatever capacity He wants me to? And then answer it. And then think about what you receive from it. Lord, we're so grateful for what you've shown us here today. We're so thankful, God, for what you've always done for us. As your children, you love your children. You take care of your children. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we do have it good here in America. When we look and see what's happening in the Ukraine, our hearts just break sometimes because of those precious old people and those little children and those young men who are losing lives right and left. God, help us to be what we can be in this world. For everyone we come in contact with, give us a willing heart to reach out to them and be whatever we can be. We're going to promise you today from the bottom of our hearts that we're going to be what we need to be. And we ask this in Jesus Christ, your precious Son, our Savior. Amen. Let's stand, please. And while we stand, we're going to sing a verse of this song. 354. 354. If you have a book there and you want to get it and turn and sing this song, we're going to sing one verse of it. The reason we do this is because the Holy Spirit may have touched your heart and you may need to make a decision for salvation or just to get updated, as we say, that reconsecrate your life. If you need to do that, let's do it while we sing. That's a song that is always asked us, have I done that or will I do it today? And I would say to you, if you haven't, do it today, okay? Okay. We have just a minute of your time. If you would be seated just for a minute, we're going to take care of this because we have something in our Constitution bylaws that will not allow anyone to make decisions about the money that you give in your tithes and offerings without your